your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase, also known as Joe Stradamus to some on social media.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin, and I don't have any such names. Why are you Joe Stradamus now?
People started calling me that after I tweeted Lamar. This would be a nice time for Lamar Jackson to throw his first red zone interception of his career, and then he did it to Taron Johnson in the game.
But you tweeted that. I see, like, I'm on the couch, so this doesn't, like, count. I just, like, say things when I'm watching games. And I go, I feel like we're due for a turnover. But, like, that's not the same. Like, tweeting it, you get it in ink and you get all the credit. Like, It was a good prediction.
It wasn't really a prediction, though. I said it'd be a nice time for it. I didn't say Lamar Jackson's going to throw his first career interception.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I'm working at the studio.
With all the bad snaps and stuff, it did feel like we were due for something. Like, it just kind of felt right.
It did.
And it would happen.
Good to start with the Bills there, because not an overly positive night to be talking about the Buffalo Sabres. They sit now at 1-3 on the 2021 season after a 3-0 loss at the hand of the Philadelphia Flyers, including an empty net goal at the end by Kevin Hayes. So it was really 2-0 and then an empty netter. So, a lot to get to in this game. Where we are in terms of goalies, Carter Hutton leaves this game with an injury after what I thought were two very strong periods by Hutton. Travis Konecny, dynamite for the Flyers. I thought he was maybe their best player. I think there's other stuff about this game that we'll get to. Let's start, though, with the decision at the outset, before the game even starts, to healthy scratch Tage Thompson. What did you thought of Thompson through three games, and do you think it was the right decision to make him the scratch over anybody else? Oh, for Rasmus Asplund, by the way.
I was okay with it. I don't think he's like a... I didn't think Thompson played bad. I just think, like, if there is going to be anybody that you'd have to pick to maybe, you know, sit and get fresh legs on a back-to-back, Thompson's probably your guy. Unless you want to go like the Tobias Reeder route, but I think Reeder did like kind of play himself into getting more minutes, getting more time. Mm-hmm. So I understood it. Thompson's probably going to be that guy going forward, considering he's young. You kind of want him probably to be more fresh. I expect a good effort from him when he comes back, probably against Washington. I'm not taking too much stock into it. I think it's just like somebody's got to sit in this situation if you want to get Asplund some time. And Thompson seemed like the right guy for it, considering what Riley Shahan and guys like Tobias Reeder have brought.
Yeah. The Shahan Lazar Skinner line had such a good game on Monday night that I think that maybe allowed Shahan to stay in the lineup over Thompson. I personally would have preferred Thompson in over Shahan to try to get a little more offensive flair with Skinner on a line with Lazar in the middle. But Shahan, you know, he had a nice pass on that second Lazar goal on Monday. He got lucky they went through like three Flyers, but a little between the legs, you know, it wasn't bad. So it wasn't my favorite decision, but again, same as you, like, it's fine. He did not play so well that they couldn't take him out. And also, it also might be related to his not playing games since last November. I know Lance Lysowski tweeted at me on that before the game that it might just be a case of give him a little rest on a back-to-back, second back-to-back of the season already, because he had that shoulder injury last November. He hadn't played games for 12 months, more 14 months, longer than even these other guys. So that could have played into it as well. Just let him shake some of the rust off and get some rest in. So that was before the game. We found out Linus Ullmark would not be dressing for this game, although he was at the morning skate. We still don't know what the personal issues are. Ralph Kruger said today that, you know, Ullmark will divulge that to everybody when he feels comfortable with it. So we'll see if we even find out. But obviously something's going on in his personal life, and it's best to give him his privacy and just wait till he comes back. I guess that's now the waiting game, though. What happens with Linus Ullmark? And again, I don't want to speculate on what it is, so we just kind of have to say that we don't know when he will return. But now Carter Hutton is injured. He gets hit in the head in the second period. It weird, very strange process. It's not like the NFL where a guy hits his head. And it's because I think the NHL for sure takes concussions the least seriously of all the sports, because it's been out there that players, GMs, coaches, teams, like the owners, they all want all head contact eliminated or made illegal permanently. All of those groups want that. You know why all head contact is not illegal? It's because Gary Bettman doesn't want that. And Gary Bettman feels that you are admitting defeat on the concussion side of things, essentially, if you do that. And Bettman has continued to refuse to admit that there is a connection between hits to the head and concussions, which is where these other leagues have been for 10 years. Even the NFL, who was slow to get to it themselves. So kind of you see that philosophy that exists at the top of the league. I think you see it in the second period of the Sabres game. Carter Hutton gets hit in the head midway through that period. He finishes the period, played pretty well, by the way. He finishes the period, and then he leaves the game, and he's not back for the start of the third, which means they went into the locker room and decided, I guess, we don't know his exact injury, but I'm guessing they noticed concussion symptoms within that intermission, and that means you were risking him further injury playing with a concussion, if that's what he has throughout the rest of that second period. So when I saw Hutton leave, my mind didn't go to, okay, what are they in net? It's this, just the process of the league with the stuff just makes me cringe so much.
Yeah. That they don't have a protocol, right? That it does.
Yeah. Just they don't have anything.
Like, oh, you have to wait until Carter Hutton goes to the locker room to say, hey, let's check in on you. How you doing after getting hit in the head there? Yeah. I get that. I get that for sure. You know, for a league that has a department of player safety, that doesn't seem very safe for the players.
Yeah.
So like, I think that they should adopt that. The protocol in the NFL, I mean, it's not perfect by any means, but it does get players that are wobbling off the field, like gets them off the field and gets them into the hands of a doctor that can, you know, analyze them better. I agree with that. Now, I don't think this wasn't like a dirty hit or anything. It wasn't.
No,
like, he got pushed. He got shoved into the net, and he like swung his arm back and hit Hutton in the head. Just like an unfortunate freak play. But yeah, like that happens in contact sports. But really, the message is: does the league have what it takes to acknowledge it and then try to at least minimize the threat? It's never going to be eradicated. It's a physical game. I still like that there's hitting in hockey. I don't want there not to be hitting in hockey. But I do think that they should do a better job of protecting the players if a dangerous hit happens.
Right, exactly. And now we do turn to what this means for the goaltender situation. Again, I thought Hutton played really well. He actually made his best save maybe as a Sabre in that second period. That it's actually his own fault in the first place that he kicks the rebound out into the slot. But man, does he make up for it. That skate save. I think did you get a good look at it? I think it's a skate that he makes the save.
Yeah, it was like his, like the side of his skate. I was about to say the rebound was pretty brutal.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, yeah, so he made up for it. I think that was a thing with, not to go too off track away from the goalie here, but Jake McCabe, I think, had a bad turnover, but he really skated hard back and dove and made a diving play on the puck. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. You made a turnover, but you made up for it with a really good hustle play. So like, I can tolerate that a little bit more. And Hutton, to his credit, like after giving up bad rebound, makes a great hustle play and makes a great save. Now the breakaway, I do have a little bit of a gripe with him, but he was probably hurt. So I'll let it slide.
His stick is on his pad where it should be in his five hole. His stick is like doing nothing. Yeah, that was a bad job on the breakaway. Although it's a worse job by the defenseman and the forwards. Lazar falls and that turns possession over. Skinner and Shan are caught too deep because they weren't expecting a turnover that quick. And McCabe is just flying up the wall for some reason. I would like a better look at that play, but my instinct is McCabe is just in no man's land and he gets caught. And that's why the breakaway happens from Travis Konechny. Real quick, what do we think happens then? If let's say Ullmark doesn't come forward, I think Johansson played well, I thought, in the third period. He had made a couple of nice saves. I think I want him, you know, to end up making that save on the second Flyers goal. But I guess if I could go with this, he looked awful in almost every game he played for the Sabres last season. He played one period so far this year. I thought it was a decent period. So I'm interested to see him again. And I don't even know if I need, you know, either one of the guys, Ullmark or Hutton, hurt for this, because we're just trying to find something in net at this point, aren't we? Like anything. Maybe this is the time to call up Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and just see what he's got.
Yeah, I'm game for it. Not a place you want to be 1-3, and you don't know. I don't think the Sabres expected to be five games in and be turning to Johansson and maybe either Tokarski or Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And that it's not a great place to be. But it's where we are. So we got to just decide. I'm fine with Johansson. I mean, I'm at a bit of a loss with the goalies right now.
They didn't do anything in the offseason.
Yes. I don't really care. They're all like, they all scare the crap out of me when there's 2-on-1. I just expect a goal every time. And it's nothing like Hutton obviously was hurt. I don't want to grill him too much because he didn't play that bad and, stuff like that. And Johansson was left kind of with the drive. It was a slow saucer pass to a wide angle. Like, why can't you stop that?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, I know Miller, for some reason, Colin Miller that sprung that 2-on-1. Colin Miller decided to try to like moss a guy.
Yeah.
Like, he jumped on his back and like tried to like catch it. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, why are you pinching now? But it was a disaster of sorts in the defensive end. But we can gripe about all that all we want. We didn't score any goals. So you can't, it's hard to win when you don't score any goals.
Right. And the Jack Eichel body language report from today, I would say, is on that play, by the way, where right after he just slams his stick on the ice. So we're I don't want to make everyone depressed by doing that, you know, every episode. But once in a while, if I notice something about Jack Eichel's body language, I'm going to feel the need to point it out.
But in fairness, like, yeah, you can like get mad at your like teammates and stuff all you want. I think he's just frustrated with the circumstances. Sure. But it's like, you didn't score at all. Like, you know,
that line,
like,
I thought that line had a tough night, to be honest. I think a couple of times I thought that probably doesn't happen if Hall has a little more chemistry with the other two, where he would get caught in the same areas, Eichel or Reinhardt, and the puck would get caught between their feet. Or Eichel would expect Hall to be somewhere where he wasn't. I thought that line was good. I think it's hard for that line, given how much talent they have, to have a bad night. But I don't think they were necessarily dominant and like looking like one of the best lines in hockey like they were on Monday night.
Yeah, I thought there are still moments where I'm in awe at like the potential that's there. Like that line, there are moments where I'm like, this line could be one of the best in hockey. If they get it all together, they get the chemistry down because they are still a little bit new with each other. I mean, like 3 weeks ago? They haven't skated together before. But I do have a little bit of I just think you got to start putting some of these home. I think Olofsson had some prime opportunities. That Eichel line did have prime opportunities themselves. Eichel misses the net a lot lately, and it's bothering me. I know he'll get it together because he's Jack Eichel and he's that good, but yeah, like it is frustrating seeing like 7 Erhoffs on the team now.
The team of Erhoffs is what we got.
Not where you want to be.
No. We'll talk more about the offensive struggles when we come back. We'll look at the ice time from this game, Ralph Kruger's usage, the deployment report, and then we'll look at what's ahead all coming up on the Sabres schedule. That's after this on the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hansen. Are we ready for some football, and are we ready for some hockey? There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, BetOnline.com. betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Bills and Chiefs in the AFC Championship game on Sunday. We don't yet know the status of Patrick Mahomes, so you're taking a big risk by trying to decide on that game right now. Chiefs favored by 2.5. It actually opened with the Bills as a favorite, but as it became a little more clear that there's a better chance than not that Mahomes will play on Sunday. Again, that's a guess, but seems it's trending that way. The line goes back to 2.5 to Kansas City. So if you're one to take the risk and want to see, maybe if it's Chad Henne, if you get the Bills plus 2.5, that's a pretty good job. Whereas if Mahomes plays and you want to go on the Kansas City side, the line could get even stretched by a little bit more. So that's a game to decide on. You've got hockey going on right now. Lines on that. Futures. I'm looking at MVP futures. Jack Eichel plus 3,000 for the heart. Pretty good. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, NHL, and NBA all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. We ended the last segment talking about the struggles on offense. A lot of guys missing the net on this night. And I want to add into that Eric Staal. Through three games, I would say he's not been very noticeable. He did have a couple of scoring opportunities in this game, a couple of wrist shots coming down the wing. But, man, one thing I noticed with Eric Staal is he just looks old. He really does. I think he looks old and slow. He's 36 years old. I was trying actually to phrase it in a tweet, how slow Staal looks to me at this point. And Anthony from Expected Buffalo tweeted that he looks like an old oil rig. Like that is to me what I think of when I'm watching Eric Staal play right now. I don't think that means he can't be a useful player. I mean, they don't have much in terms of centers, but your top three centers so far have zero goals on the season. And that's not all on Staal. It's part on Eichel, although Eichel's been more of a playmaker to start the year. And, you know, Eakin is not really thought of as an offensive player, but you're going to need Staal to contribute more offensively if this team's going to go anywhere this season.
Yeah, I think it's definitely very, I notice him, and I notice him because of the exact reasons you say. I notice him for being really slow. Like It's like they're trying to drive pace. They're moving fast into the zone. They pass it over to Staal and things slow down real quick. And like, I like that he's shooting. But I think there was a moment like that, one of those wrist shots from the wide angle, Rob Ray goes, you know, that was a really good shot, real tough shot. And Brian Elliott made this really great save. It's like, he just shot it like right into his chest. And Brian Elliott like didn't know where the puck was. And Rob Ray is talking about how good of a save it was. I'm like, Rob, I get it. You're trying to make it seem like the Sabres are doing a good job here, but like, that was not that great of a shot.
No,
I've seen a lot better shots than that, especially from a guy like Eric Staal. Yeah, I'm disappointed with how he's been thus far.
Definitely. Skinner, I thought, had another good night, but he's getting scoring opportunities. That was the one thing that I thought he wouldn't get, is he wouldn't get all of these chances because his line doesn't really generate it. But he's getting them, and it's coming even on that line with Lazar and Shea. And Shea set him up for a great chance in the first period with a saucer pass across a defenseman, and Skinner had to put it top corner and he just didn't lift it enough. And then he had another chance on the rebound. So I'm still impressed. I think Skinner, for playing on that line, has had a very good start to the season. But if he wants, I think Kruger, it's going to take more to impress this guy than all of us. It's just gonna, I think that's become evident over the course of this season and last season. So if he wants to get an increased role, maybe if someone is struggling in the top six, if he wants to be the guy that goes up there instead of Dylan Cousins or instead of Tage Thompson, he's got to start burying some of these. So Skinner is contributing to the lack of scoring a little bit too, even though, again, I would say he's playing very well. I'm looking at expected goal for percentage in this game, and the Sabres came out with 62% versus the Flyers 37%. A lot of the other numbers, Corsi 4 percentage, high danger scoring chances, a lot of the advanced numbers, the Sabres really crushed it in this game. And I think on the ice, you could see that. Like, they were controlling play again. I would say for the third game in a row, they were controlling play. But I think what I thought this season would be is starting to come to fruition, that they're going to be a better team than last season. I think just on paper, on the ice, I think they're a better team. That's Taylor Hall, you know, that is even Eric Staal, I think at least settling down the second line center spot. I think that's Dylan Cousins being really good through the first four games of his career, generating chances. I think they are better on the ice, and I don't think you're going to see a difference in the standings just because we are seeing how good this division is. And that is not including New Jersey, who we assumed was going to be bad, and Lindy Ruff has got the Devils at 2-0-1 to start the year. They ran over the Rangers tonight. So the Sabres sit in the basement, and I think that's indicative of what could come the rest of the way. Like, they might be better, but what does it matter if you're not in the playoffs?
They're like that soccer team that has like a lot of the great offensive players, but they don't really, like, the other team goes on the counter strike and it's like, oh my God, oh no. So for example, my favorite soccer team, Borussia Dortmund, is that team. And like, I just feel like the Sabres are that type of style where they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of offensive talent, and they put in the effort, they put in the work. Analytics loves them. They are constantly in the zone. They're constantly making plays. They're getting high quality chances, but all it takes is two fast breaks and you're down 2-0. And That's what we saw today. And it's just like very frustrating watch. if you go down 2-0 when you feel like you deserve to win. Sabres, if you went by analytics and took the numbers, Sabres should be 3-1, but they're 1-3. And it's because the two games that they needed to score some goals,
yeah,
like some of those chances needed to turn to goals, they couldn't do it. They could not finish. And that's rearing its ugly head.
Doesn't that just show that they're cursed? I mean, it's not like throughout this whole decade, they've been a good analytics team. They've never been a good possession team. They have never been a good high danger scoring chance team. They have never been a great team in net for the advanced numbers. This year, they're finally starting to show some progress in those areas, and they still can't get the W's. That's for me, what makes it more frustrating, is this is really the first, I mean, it's four games. I'm going to settle down on that. It's the first four-game stretch to start a year where I've thought this, because they've had some tough starts. All right, let's look at the usage report, the deployment report for this game, and how Ralph Kruger used his guys. I'm going to start with the blue line, actually, because it's very balanced. Montour actually comes way ahead of everybody else at leading the whole team in ice time at 23 minutes, 40 seconds. I think Montour's had a good start to the year. And then, like I said, everyone else is just kind of right in there. Joki Haru was second at 19 minutes, 42 seconds. I thought he was really good tonight. He actually pulled a Houdini-type act on Obe Kubel, the guy who punched Dahlin in the face yesterday and got a $5,000 fine, because what a joke player safety is. No suspension. We're going to fine you 0.06% of your paycheck. But Joki Haru, that Kubel was trying to run him, and Joki Haru like did a little spin move, and Obe Kubel missed Joki Haru and hit his own guy, blasted him in the corner. So that was just one moment. But Joki Haru, I thought, had a really good night. He was second on the team in ice time. Then you had Ristolainen at 1851, Colin Miller at 1843, Dahlin at 1834, and then McCabe at the bottom at 1657. I've been kind of impressed with their blue line so far. And that's interesting, because I think Dahlin struggled again tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. In terms of Dahlin, I just feel like he's getting in a little bit of like hero ball. Like, I think he's trying to do too much a lot of times with the puck. I feel like he takes like a couple extra like deeks or a couple extra, just like when he's recollecting the puck, he does it like two times too many, and then he flings it across, and it's like if it's just a little bit off, like, you know, a lot of the times he's playing with somebody not as talented as him, and he's trying to do all these like fancy plays. And like, I don't think other players' minds work the same. Like, I just think like the guy's just like, just pass to me. Like, just pass to me so I can pass to the other guys. Like, you don't need to do this fancy stuff with us. Like, we don't think that way right now. Like, just right. like, just let the play flow. And sometimes the best play is the simplest one. And I just want to see him try to maybe rein himself in a little bit. I don't want him to change the way he plays, because I think that he is a talent. But I think he needs to rein it in a little bit more.
Me too.
Built Bar is back and improved with all new packaging and the bars. I didn't think they could taste any more like a candy bar, but our friends at Built Bar somehow figured out a way to add to their 12 permanent flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange toffee almond, coconut, and my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. Are now 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. In addition to tasting amazing, they are great for the healthy conscious guy or gal. Under 200 calories, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Do not eat one more protein bar until you try Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com.
Forward group, you had way at the bottom. Rasmus Asplund plays 7 minutes and 20 seconds in this game. He showed some good energy. You could see he's got speed, but there was a couple giveaways in the offensive end. I mean, he didn't look like he knew what he was doing in the offensive zone, at least. But I think, you know, that's what we expect out of Rasmus Asplund if he does become an NHL player. A little bit lower on the ice time mark, too. Riley Sheahan at 11:21. Cousins at 11:28. I thought Cousins was good. I think Cousins has been good the whole time. I think he makes some mistakes, but he's a 19-year-old rookie, 20-year-old rookie, whatever he is. But I thought he's kept up for playing on a second line with Staal and Olofsson. I think he's the best puck carrier on that line. So I thought that was curious. The top line, of course, leading the way in minutes: Eichel at 20:58, Hall at 20:38, and then Reinhardt at 20:57, Skinner at 14:33, Staal at 15:59. No big surprises here, I would say, except for, I think the only big issue I have with his usage on the night, maybe for anybody, is that I'd like to see Cousins start to get an increase in minutes. And I might even say I've seen enough out of Cousins so far that I'm ready to see him at center. I don't want to wait too long. I'm afraid of the Reinhardt thing happening, maybe a little too much. But I think I've seen enough out of him where, even if it's not second line center, but if it's third line center, in place, and maybe you move, you know, Lazar to the wing, or that would be nice, actually. Move Lazar to the wing on that line and then get Cousins with Skinner. I'm ready to see Cousins center.
I am too. I like Cousins every time I see him. I mean, he's not only one, quick, two, offensively gifted. You can kind of see that, like, some of his shots are pretty solid. I think that he's just like not getting the bounces that you need yet.
Sure.
But I just don't see him getting played with Skinner. I don't see Kruger doing it. Kruger's going to be like, nope, we got to keep it balanced. Got to keep Skinner down there. I don't understand why, but I don't see that. But I like Cousins a lot. I'm all good with more Cousins in my life.
Yeah.
I think he's grittier than people.
I agree.
I expected right away. I thought he would get pushed off the puck a little bit more than he does. He's like, he gets right in there and like tries to, he gets in the dirty areas and like makes plays out of it.
Definitely.
Good to see out of a rookie.
That's the biggest difference between him and Mittelstadt coming into the league. Mittelstadt still doesn't have that part of his game, and he definitely didn't at the beginning. And I think Cousins having that, it allows him to kind of, it's easier for him to acclimate when he can do other things than just score. So I agree. Last thing, what do we think of the Flyers through 2 games against them? They're sitting atop the division at 3-1. They don't have their top center, Sean Couturier. If you have missed it, Claude Giroux really plays on the wing now. So they could move him back to center, but they've been going with Kevin Hayes, really. I love Konechny as a player. He was really pissing off Eichel on this night. He had that hit on Dahlin. Him and Eichel were jawing back and forth a little bit. He actually jawed at the bench after he scored his goal. I was really making me mad in the moment, but I love players like
that. I wanted to talk about that. I think somebody should have punched him in the mouth. Like, honestly, like, if you talk to the bench, how do you just let the guy get away with that?
I don't know. I was expecting something. I thought someone would at least even run him. If it was Ristolainen or McCabe.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. I obviously don't like cheap shot. Don't Todd Bertuzzi him, but it's like, you know, get in his face a little bit. Like, I could not believe it. They just like let that happen. Like, the guy scored on you, then talk smack to your bench, and you just like played on as usual. I thought that was bizarre. I think it like that goes to like to all those fans. I don't agree with you, to a point, but like all those people that say this team's not tough enough, they had some validation in that moment. Like, I think that was a problem to me, just in terms of like competitiveness, competitive drive. Like, not necessarily like, I'm not saying fight them.
Sure.
But I'm saying like
something
that should fire you up.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed on that bench. I know you would be pissed on that bench.
I would be. I'm a hothead when I play hockey. So yeah, I would have probably got kicked out of that game. Just saying. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean that's what they should do. I'm just saying I definitely would have got kicked out of that game if that happened. I will also say, I don't want to really make this point, but I guess I'm gonna. Should I even do it? No, whatever. I'll do it. I feel like maybe I'm making too much of it. I almost don't want to say it. I feel like whenever I see the Sabres on the bench, their players, they're never talking to each other. Ever.
No, I think that's a thing I think about too.
I always see that. Like, and it happened a couple times this game and last game. And like, they'll show Eichel, Hall, and Reinhardt sitting next to each other, and they're just not. They're not talking. They're not chatting about anything. They show the Flyers. It's like they're going back and forth. I mean, I'm sure it happens. We get a very limited amount of time to see the benches. We get like a few seconds here or there throughout a TV broadcast. But I'm just saying, I'm pointing out that every time I see the benches for the Sabres, it doesn't look like they're talking. So
obviously winning changes that a little bit more. Like, they probably talked a lot more yesterday.
yeah.
But it's like, but I do notice that. Like, they're that's not a team that you think comes back in games like that. Like, they look, when they go down a goal or they go down two goals, they are miserable. Like, that's just what I see. I think that's part of that like culture. I don't want to bring up all the bad stuff that makes Sabres fans mad, but it's like, I think that kind of stuff is what like Nathan Boyeu talked about. Like, it's that kind of stuff where it's just like, it's like poisonous in there. Like, and I don't think it's like necessarily anybody's fault. It's just like, I think they do feel the weight of the losing. And I think the only way to solve it, the only way to cure losing, is to win. And it's really tough for a losing team to break out of that. I think it just like wears them down, and they played, to simplify it, they played two of the best teams in the league. So I don't think we can like, and they're 1-3. Like, it doesn't get any easier, but they have played a lot of good teams, and I don't think that it's fair to just be like, oh, they're the same old Sabres.
Yeah. Silly question to end. Would you rather have the Sabres make the playoffs, or would you rather have the Bills play the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl? But I'm not telling you who wins it.
Bills play the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Sorry, Sabres.
Easily.
If you guarantee me the Chiefs win, I mean.
Right. I'm guaranteeing you the Chiefs win.
Hey, I'm in. And then I know we'll beat the Bucs because it's a team of destiny.
Did I make that too easy?
Oh, yeah. I just know that if we play the Bucs, we will win because it's destiny to beat Brady.
I know. It's a movie script. It literally is a movie script.
Yes.
I wrote about this today at WGR's website that I want, more than anything, I want Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I don't really know.
We can't lose. You do not lose that game in the movie.
No, you do. Right, exactly. You absolutely don't. I don't know if the Sabres have that similar like boogeyman. It's hard to be, I mean,
Sabres have so many boogeymen.
there's two. It's an army of them.
There's like 20 of them on the team right now.
They're 20 little ones instead of one giant one like the Bills had.
Yeah, it's a never ending game of like side quests to accomplish before you can actually go fight the big boss.
Yeah, it's Nazi zombies in Call of Duty where like it's just
you can't win. You don't just, win. Yeah, it's just waves. Never ending. Yeah.
It's just waves of them over and over. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to today's episode recapping this Sabres Flyers game. We'll start to look ahead to what's coming next. The Capitals on Friday. We will do that on tomorrow's episode. So come back for that. Follow us on social media at Sneaky Joe Sports, at JR Hanskin, and at Locked On Sabres. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.